welcome, Internet. Welcome to Consumer Choice Center Live. It's a great momentous occasion. We're live going out all from quarantine in our own little corners of the world, but now we're online, and we thank you so much for tuning in. We've got a great hour lined up for you with great Consumer Choice Center staff around the world. We're all in quarantine, but we're living the best life that we can. And basically, we're here to talk to you, tell you about all the stuff that we've been working on, tell you about all the things that we've been cooking up. It's been a very busy time for us. We haven't just been sitting around. We've been very busy in terms of putting out great infographics, great reports, articles, getting published all over. So I think now is a great time to be part of the Consumer Choice Center, and we're very lucky that we've had great staff members from around the world who've really been pitching in, doing a lot of great work. So what we're going to be focusing on for the next hour, we've got all of our staff members on the line, on cue. They're going to be phoning in. They're going to give you their thoughts about what's happening, about everything that's happening in the world, and also the great stuff that they've been working on. So there's, again, as I mentioned, some great infographics, some great research, meetings that are happening. We're cooking up a storm for consumer choice. This is what we do, and we're doing it very well, even under these circumstances. So time goes on, our work goes on, and we want to make sure that we continue delivering for consumer choice as much as we can. So we'll go to our very first interview. We have Fabio Fernandez on. He is our great media associate. Everything that you see that looks beautiful and nice, Fabio has done that. Fabio, good sir, welcome to Consumer Choice Center Live.
Hello, Yael. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course, Fabio. So basically, you are right now in the thick of it. You're hanging out in Milan in Italy. You're on total lockdown. I guess it's been quite a time for all this to happen and for you to be productive, right?
Exactly. We are trying to survive here. So every day we have news about the coronavirus and new decrees that are restricting our freedom and our consumer choice. So just trying to survive here in lockdown Italy.
And, you know, what have you kind of seen? Have you been going out in the streets? Have you been staying at home? Have you been a responsible social distancer? What has that been like for you the last couple of weeks?
Actually, I've been limiting myself to staying at home, trying to be responsible, just going to the supermarket and doing the essential things. But when you go outside, you don't see anything walking on the street, actually. I think everything, especially here in Milan, is very quiet.
Yeah.
Just the supermarket is very full all the time. We have huge lines, but everything else, I think, is normal.
Yeah,
besides
definitely.
Hospital and the health system, but people are trying to get over it. I was mentioning for you to you this morning that we had a 11 a.m. the national anthem of Italy on the radio, everyone at the window singing, waving flags. So this is a very special moment, I believe, here in Italy, a patriotic moment. There's not much we can do outside. So I've been very productive here, trying to spread the message of consumer choice, doing new graphics, updating our website. So if you're listening, I see that Tamar is online. So if you check out our website, we have a lot of content and a lot of new topics that we are going to cover in the next couple of weeks.
And if people, you know, what has it been like trying to engage our audience on the different platforms? Because, you know, obviously there are a bunch of millennials, there's even some Zoomers, a lot of Gen Xers and baby boomers who follow our stuff. What's the kind of difference between the audiences on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, these kind of things?
I think the obvious thing is that LinkedIn is more a corporate level kind of discussion. So we try to push some content on LinkedIn that are more corporate, and we try to engage with some of the brands and some of the companies. On Facebook, Twitter, we try to communicate with consumers. That's our base. Those are the people that support us. So we are trying to share our message and also share messages from other people and consumers all around the world on these platforms. And I think we've been growing a lot on Twitter, also Facebook, and a little bit on Instagram, especially because we've been sharing a lot of content, a lot of interesting news, and good content, actually. good visuals, good writing. We have an exceptional team that works every day, nonstop, to create content and fight for consumer choice all around the world. And I think that's what's been going on, especially online. I think these days also people are more connected and staying at home, and they have been engaging more with our content, which is pretty cool for us.
And since you've been able to, you know, work on the social media side and see, you know, what people are talking about, you know, is there a good way to try to keep people entertained online with everything that's happening? Everyone's got their own situation, obviously, but, you know, work goes on. There are still governments and there are still institutions that are passing laws against consumers and ways that affect them. You know, what is the conversation that's happening online? Are we seeing, you know, a very positive, upbeat message? Are people kind of reading the news too much? Are they watching too much cable television? You know, what is that like?
I think people are tired of all the content on coronavirus, especially because it's very repetitive, no? So people keep repeating the same message, since we don't know much about the virus and how it spreads and what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. So people, I think, it's tired of watching this content of coronavirus. So publishing some information and new stuff that can distract people from all that's happening, I think it's also helpful. And those kind of content has been growing online, has been calling a lot of attention. So what we're trying to do is try to use the coronavirus vibe and wave of attention, but also to spread other messages that are also important. So our colleague Bill, that is going to be soon on here on the call, he was covering that in the US, the legislator was passing legislation that reduced consumer choice while everyone is distracted watching the news about the coronavirus. So that's why we are here. We are looking at what's happening besides coronavirus, and we are using our platforms and our voice to try to call attention to those issues.
And, you know, you obviously are originally from Brazil. What has the kind of impact been there from what you've been following? I think, again, this is global, and I think one advantage that we have is that we're essentially doing the big, you know, consumer choice push in all of our countries. But what is it like in Brazil when it comes to everything that's happening now? And you think ways that we can improve consumer choice, even if we're faced with this massive, I guess, self-quarantining of the population?
What I've been hearing from Brazil is mostly from friends and family members, and also what I see on media. But I think Brazil is now starting to react to what's happening with the coronavirus. And a few things that I think it's interesting about the coronavirus is that legislators are finally pushing agendas that they have been holding for a long time. So in Brazil, for example, right now, there is a proposal to allow for prescriptions and receipts without going to the doctor, which is very good news. And everything online, so e-prescriptions. And this is something that only happened because of coronavirus and people staying at home and trying not to spread the virus. So this is an opportunity that for sure the Consumer Choice Center in Brazil is going to work and support. We've been publishing and pushing this content already in our Brazilian social networks. And that's something, for example, that I think is very interesting regarding this whole situation.
Definitely. Well, cool. Thanks so much, Fabio, for a great insight. Obviously, you are the king of all of our graphics and all the good-looking stuff that's put out on our website. So you can definitely follow Fabio. He'll be linked in the live stream link here, and he'll be available to answer your questions if you have any later, and he'll be able to pop back out, so we'll be able to see him. So Fabio, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. So you are listening to Consumer Choice Center Live. We are live here on Facebook, going out with a live stream. We've got all of our colleagues from around the world who are chiming in from their corner of the globe, of the earth, and they're giving us a little bit of insight as to what they're working on, things that they've been seeing, things that they are excited about for the future. There's a lot of great things that we've been putting together as an organization. Again, using all the time that people are normally using sitting at home and trying to be super active. So that's kind of our big goal here. I think we've done a fairly good job so far. So I'm very happy and proud of all of our colleagues. I think especially those who are working in very bad circumstances, this is something that is super interesting. So speaking of other colleagues, we do have someone else joining on the line. We've got Luca Bertoletti coming in from Italy. Luca, welcome, sir.
Hello, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the program. How you been, Luca? You're right in the thick of it, right? You're just hanging out right there in Italy and Milan, and yeah, it's got to be pretty tough for you, huh?
Yeah, I'm close to Milan, actually. My province is the first one in number of contagious timing right now. Hanging in. More than out, hanging in, actually. Like, kind of not possible to go out more than one time for days, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And my part of the region in Milan, like Milan is not so affected as we are right now. So.
Sure. Well, I know that you're an adventurous one, so you are keen to go out and enjoy the streets, but now you're kind of locked in. What have you been working on since, we've been kind of put in this situation? What have you, kind of been busying yourself with?
Well, lately I worked a lot on IP protection, especially for drugs and patient safety, Italian side and European side. In the European Parliament, we have now an MEP group, an intergroup, which works on all of the parts of the IP protection innovation for consumers, which includes, of course, drugs protection as well. And also in Italy, especially right now where our ICU running out of beds and all of our drug storage is actually running out as well. There's a shortage of drugs, like normal drugs, like paracetamol actually. So I'm working and together I was giving some comments on the white paper which months ago. And we are actually to help the Commission to give more choice in artificial intelligence framework for consumers.
So you're talking about artificial intelligence in a time that we're dealing with this massive global pandemic. You really are thinking ahead. You're thinking into the future. You're thinking about what the regulations are going to be once all of this calms down and we can get back to business, right?
Well, no, actually, this can help a lot also during the pandemic time. I mean, look at South Korea. Geo-tracking and artificial intelligence are helping to stop the spreading of the virus. While in Italy especially, but in general in Europe, it's very difficult to do what South Korea did because of a framework which stopped at like 5 or 7 years ago. And that is not actually ready for deal with a problem now, and for sure not for when things will go back to business.
Wow.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully soon. We can kind of see. What have you been hearing from, you're obviously in touch with many parliamentarians being part of the European Parliament. You know, are you hearing from any of them about their situation in their countries, or maybe are they working from home? You know, are you getting any messages, anything that people are saying about some of their priorities right now?
I mean, for sure, European, let's say, European priorities that were like 2 or 3 months ago, such as the Green Deals or all of the part on green innovations is actually put aside right now. Like the main topic in European Parliament, stop the corona, how to find a vaccination very soon, how to actually make an economy growing again once this guy is finished.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I guess there's...
No, I'm actually working from home.
Sure. I mean, there's got to be so much thinking now, because it's a good time to reset, right? It's a good time for since many of us are stuck at home, or I don't know if you've been, you know, playing on the balcony like everyone else has been doing apparently on YouTube in Italy.
I don't have a balcony.
No balcony? So you just have to sing the anthem in your apartment then. But I know that, you know, it is kind of a fascinating time, and all eyes are on Italy right now. You know, that's especially in places like the United States and Canada and different parts of Europe. It's hard. You know, it's tough to look at Italy and such a vibrant, great place. And right now, everybody's just kind of locked down, and, you know, a lot of people are not able to work. You know, are there any big consumer issues that have popped up? You mentioned the beds and the ventilators and things. Are there other things that have popped up in the Italian situation since we've kind of been dealing with coronavirus?
Well, our government decided to spend 600 million to save Alitalia, which, I mean, was long time dead before the coronavirus crisis. I mean, the bankruptcy was filed 6 years ago, so it's a very long time and nothing to do with this crisis, which is really bad crisis for the transport area in general. And that's actually, it's really bad for consumers, because apparently also the slots that Alitalia has will be kept, even if there is no actually rule right now to waive slot in Italy. So most likely other companies are actually doing ghost flights at Italian airports, while Alitalia can just ground the fleet and keep the slots, which is too much, because I don't want to fly just one, which is quite expensive.
Yeah.
And something else that actually passed was like a discussion on GMOs and modified genetics organisms, especially concerning the agriculture crisis, because most of the agriculture right now cannot work, the farmer cannot work, so that most of the people cannot actually plant. So we are starting actually to have this discussion if maybe allowing more GMOs can help our agriculture to grow faster and more industrialized than before.
Definitely. Well, busy man, Luca Bertoletti, you're doing everything you can there to keep consumer choice alive in Italy. So we thank you so much for everything you're doing, and wish you the best of luck while you're remaining in quarantine.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Luca.
All right. Thanks.
Of course. Talk soon. So that was Luca Bertoletti. He's our European or senior European affairs manager. He's been kind of running our show with our Brussels operation and everything in the European Union. And you heard it from him. You know, it's all about what is happening with the coronavirus, but at the same time, there are plenty of things to be working on. He mentioned artificial intelligence. He mentioned all the things that the European Union has actually been working on now for a couple of years, and now is not the time to just kind of let it slide. Now is actually the time to focus on this stuff and to hopefully present a very good, positive reform that will help consumers. And someone who knows a lot about that is our next guest here on Consumer Choice Center Live, Bill Wietz. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show, good man.
Hello. I hope I'm audible, because the internet connection is not the best at the moment.
No worries.
But it's working.
No worries. Bill's in Luxembourg, so we're happy to have you on. You yourself, you've been in quarantine, self-quarantine now for almost over a week, right?
Yes. Day 10 now, family imposed, because I was in Madrid earlier for the Student for Liberty conference, and so my family insisted on that. So currently sitting in a staircase and trying to catch the best Wi-Fi. Family homes in.
Hey, you're doing a great job. No worries. So, you know, we've mentioned some of your work on our radio show, Consumer Choice Radio, that's every Saturday at 10 Eastern. And one thing that, you know, David and I always comment on is just how much that you're able to produce and write and put together. You know, the last couple of days have really been a great opportunity to sit down, whether by force or not, and write articles. What have you been focusing on in the last couple of weeks when it comes to your written work?
So there's a big topic that I'm currently focused on, and that I think is vitally important, because it shows sort of the problem with how do we manage our attention, and like what is important to us. So in Africa, in East Africa right now, You have the worst locust plague in the last 25 years. So you have farms ruined, food insecurity, and a massive problem. We, of course, are focused on the coronavirus, and I think it's very important. At the same time, and you can call this a rant at this point, I'm just a bit upset that when I write about this topic right now, I'm having a tough time getting it placed in newspapers because we are focusing on whether Ellen DeGeneres is bored on her couch. And it's just a bit frustrating because there's also people affected in Africa right now by something much worse than the coronavirus, meaning that your supermarket shop is not going to be empty for half a day. It's going to be empty for months. And that is a huge problem. And the people who are usually communicating in Europe on these type of issues when it comes to fighting pests in agriculture are the environmentalist activists who'd rather us going back to the Stone Age, not using any crop protection methods, not using any pesticides, herbicides. They don't want GMOs. They don't want modern agriculture technology such as gene editing. And my question at one point is, what are we going to do about this? Because you know, the virus is eventually going to be dealt with. We're going to go back to the same conversation about this, and we've completely ignored a continent continuously suffering from certain pests. And adding to that, as climate change evolves and as temperatures go up, Europe will also be confronted with the same problem. We need to be also forward-thinking, and the virus is not the only thing we need to be talking about because we have other looming problems, whether they're financial, whether they're agriculture, and so on. So I'd also expect from the people who think that they're kind of bored right now by repetitive stories that they also shift their focus a bit on other problems because we have other very important topics we need to deal with, and we always need to consider our attention is a valuable resource and focus it on the things that are important.
Wow. Bill Wietz, everybody. This guy. No, you're totally right. I think that there's so many things that we are having thrust in front of us in the news. I mean, you mentioned the more celebrity stuff around coronavirus, but all these other things are incredibly important. You know, we kind of freak out in the liberal democracies in Europe and North America because we ran out of toilet paper for exactly 20 hours. But there are, you know, entire places in the African continent where they're not even having the same types of foods that we're able to get into the grocery stores every single day. And it really is because a lot of the policies that are being pushed in some of these other countries, it's very worrying to see. You know, what is the general feedback that you get when you're making this argument, whether in some of your columns and your articles, or you're asked to talk to other journalists?
Well, so I attended in January the GFFA, the Global Forum for Food and Agriculture, and those who follow the Consumer Choice Center's Instagram and Facebook, which you could do, will have seen that I attended that forum. Now, when the policymakers there were talking about crop protection methods, things that we need in agriculture to get food on the table, there's a big dichotomy between international organizations such as the FAO, the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, and some governments. So for instance, in Germany, the agricultural minister says it is important to give our farmers the opportunity to allow for gene editing, to allow for new agricultural technology to be on the market. But then the FAO bureaucrats, they say, no, we ought to go back to something called agroecology, where we get rid of all the technology because it's bad for us, even though it's been approved by all the food safety authorities. And then we say, oh, we need to go back to peasant farming. So actually regressive policies that will make it more problematic. And you have to think about this. You could say, okay, well, as a European taxpayer or an American taxpayer, I don't particularly care. But your tax money is actually funding this. By funding these international organizations that advocate for regressive agricultural policies in Africa, they're making the situation worse. And there's people really affected by this, because if you organize a conference in Nairobi, Kenya, and you tell farmers that they should not use these modern technologies because they're very dangerous, but you have no proof of that being the case, you hurt people. You hurt the farmers on the ground, and you hurt the consumers there. What is supposed to be the solution? Is the solution supposed to be that European farmers ought to be subsidized and then export to Africa below market price? That is incredibly destructive and very problematic. Now, you excuse the rant. I think this is super important, and I will continue talking about about this no matter what the crisis.
We're big fans of rants. Don't worry. And I think you've hit into something good, Bill. And I think this focus that we always have left and right between people at the United Nations, and it's made to be just like a state to state issue, but there's a lot of real issues that impact people in these countries, especially when it comes to food and agriculture. We evolved past peasant farming, and it seems like it's now in style or in vogue in some of these other places.
I have no problem with people being nostalgic about farming and wanting to have their own farm in bumfuck nowhere in order to produce the food that they just need for themselves. But that's super inefficient. And if you have a bad harvest one year and you actually then need to drive out to get to a supermarket, that's your problem. I have no problem with that. You can organize that yourself. But requiring the rest of the world to adopt to those standards, and also creating funding mechanisms so that developing countries are actually incentivized to tell their farmers to get rid of modern agricultural technology, that I think is plain evil. It's really problematic that we're doing this, but it's actually going to be a long-term problem. If we had the numbers in our newspapers every day, as we do with coronavirus now, if we had the numbers every day of how many people are affected by the bad agricultural policies, we'd be a lot more focused on what we need to do here. So you can buy as local and as non-treated food as you want, if that is your prerogative. As a consumer, you have that choice, but don't force others to do the same. I, for myself, want modern agricultural technology. I want African farmers to make more money. I want African consumers to have better products, and I want them to be exported to Europe so that I can buy them in my shop. And I think that's how our system should work.
Wow. So you can follow more of Bill Wietz's work on this topic and many others. Just an amazing breakdown. You can go to consumerchoicecenter.org, find our website there. You'll find all of Bill's links. And you can follow Bill on Twitter at WietzBill. Bill, thanks so much for taking the time, good man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. So that was Bill Wietz, who is just a fascinating writer, amazing guy, our senior policy analyst, really knows how to go down on these issues and understands the bigger topics when it comes to science, when it comes to agriculture and how we're actually impacting people. He does an amazing job. So we're very happy to have Bill on the stream. You're listening to Consumer Choice Center Live. We're streaming out on Facebook right now. We're talking to our Consumer Choice Center colleagues around the world to get their take on what's happening in their corner of the world, what they're focused on in their work, things that they're maybe talking about with their family and friends and colleagues and other things that they've been working on. So we've already spoken with a good amount of people, and that continues on. We've got Fred Rode, Managing Director, now on the line. Fred, sir, welcome. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm actually pretty good.
Nice.
So London is still pretty relaxed, and there are no lockdowns yet. Some people still even go to offices. I know it's fairly heavily debated whether that's good or bad. Things are still pretty relaxed in London, and the Brits seem to be fairly relaxed in general about all of this. But basically what I've been working on this week was especially looking at how consumers can access products without having to leave their house. And we have a couple of interesting infographics. You can also find on our social media, especially on Twitter. And there's like a massive feedback. Can you reduce the volume?
No worries. Yeah, sure. You might have your Facebook Live on at the same time.
No, it's not. No.
No worries. Let's see what we can do here. So you have the infographics. Those will be linked right below, so we'll be able to put those down for right now.
Awesome.
Cool.
Great.
Cool.
So what we also looked at was how consumers can actually order drugs, medical prescription-only medicine, if they can order it online. So there's a big difference in Europe. There's finally like a very big northeast divide. So in most Scandinavian countries, actually in all Scandinavian countries, you can order prescription-only medicine online. It's delivered to your house. Usually in these countries, you have an electronic prescription, so you don't even have to go physically to the doctor, but it's being sent by email or another technological solution, which then you can forward to your pharmacy, and the next day delivery of the prescription-only medicine you need, which is great. Imagine you have a chronic disease. Right now, you're not supposed to leave your house. At the same time, you're running out of drugs because you didn't know that it's going to happen. So this is really helpful. Great countries for this are Sweden, Norway, Finland, Estonia, Denmark, the Nordics, and then also Switzerland, Germany, the Netherlands, and the UK are really good at this. Interesting enough, on Twitter, we got a big debate if there's a Catholic-Protestant divide. Some social media users from Ireland started a big debate because in Northern Ireland it's legal, in Southern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland it's not. That was kind of interesting and not intended from us. We just wanted to show that there are still at least 20 countries in Europe that do not allow patients and consumers to order drugs online, prescription-only medicine, which is just sad. We hope, similar to the work of some of you guys, that this might be changed now, because this crisis shows that we have technology, but we cannot deploy it. Technology that would make people's lives better.
Sure.
Something else we also looked at, actually, if you can buy non-prescription drugs, something like aspirin or paracetamol, if you can buy that in supermarkets. That's not a north-south divide in Europe. That's a big patchwork. Again, the Nordic countries being generally good at it. But then Italy is surprisingly also good at this, and most of Eastern Europe. But then Germany, France, Spain, some of the really big European countries are not allowing you to buy aspirin in supermarkets. You first have to find a pharmacy. That's just sad. Right now, we're also looking at actually shopping hours. If you can buy groceries on Sundays and other products, we're talking social distancing these days. And we can see that this is a problem if consumers are forced, like within just 9 to 5, only Monday to Friday to be allowed to shop. Of course, we squeeze more people into like a narrow shop, and by relaxing opening hours for consumers to be open on Sundays would also be good.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people have focused on when it comes to, you know, what they're able to do right now. A lot of people are in lockdown. A lot of people are able to order things in some countries and order other things maybe not in their country. And we're seeing that divide right now. And the more advanced economies, you're seeing that now in the UK. You have a post up on our website, consumerchoicecenter.org, all about that, about what we're able to order and actually what we should be thankful for. So, Fred, tell us, what should we be thankful for during the time that we're quarantined and social distancing all over the continent?
Absolutely. So some people read about this. What we could be should be thankful about is, for instance, all the home delivery services. Name it, Domino's Pizza was like the quickest. I think on Monday or even last week, they sent me an email saying they have now social distancing pizza delivery. So you agree on a place where the pizza delivery person drops the pizza, you prepay it, and then you just have to pick up the pizza, which is then unattended, or at least the delivery person is at least 2 meters away. So they're very quick on this, much quicker than most public health authorities on how to actually execute this. Very happy for delivery service like Amazon or Ocado in the UK. They bring groceries. They're actually currently shut down, which is interesting. I mean, they're like, books are full for deliveries for the next 2 weeks. But they're shut down because currently they're going to rebuild their online shop, which is going to give priority to vulnerable populations, like elderly, people with chronic diseases who really should not leave their house will now get priority to order food, because the entire e-commerce home delivery market has been exploding in the last 2 weeks. A lot of people have only sporadically been using it or never really used it, suddenly start only ordering online, and there's just a massive bottleneck. I try to get like my delivery slots for April and they're already all gone. So that just shows, I think Amazon in the US even announced that they're going to hire 100,000 people just to kind of help with fulfillment. But this is something I'm really happy about. I already mentioned online pharmacies. I live in the UK. They provide and deliver 24 hours and you have everything you need. So probably 20 years ago, it would have been much harder to be isolated at home, where video telephony, video calls were much harder or barely existed, where broadband was expensive and slow. So Netflix is great. I haven't really had time to do this yet. Maybe funny anecdote is also, I finally got out my PlayStation 4, which hadn't been used for years. And I wanted to download a game, The Witcher 3, which I think you, Yael, know. And it took 29 hours to download the game because apparently I was not the only person who suddenly got the PlayStation out of the garage to start downloading games. So that, I think their servers were just like fried. It took 28 hours for 29 gigabytes, which is like insane.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are, you know, trying to connect right now and download all the games and updates, and it's crazy. And you have to think, you know, the entire internet infrastructure is working right now. It's actually doing pretty well under the burden of everybody being online at the same time, you know. And I would not have you on here, by the way, if you know, we didn't talk about also the coronavirus itself. You are a health economist. We've had you on Consumer Choice Radio to talk about a lot of the impact there and what's happening, and specifically the economic ramifications. You know, in terms of the trends that we're seeing now, people are just thinking about, what does this mean for our economies going forward? What does it mean for industries that might have to change or adjust? Do you have any thoughts on that, and what we can kind of do to improve things going forward?
Yes, so I will leave the epidemiological assessment, and especially the assessment of the virus, to either biologists or one of the millions of experts out there, suddenly self-proclaimed experts. Apparently a lot of people did some online courses on epidemiology. I don't know why there's so many experts right now who know so much, but I leave that to other people. Definitely it shows that health systems that have like more private elements are better braced in a better way to cope with this new wave of infections. Germany, for instance, about 80% or 78% of hospitals are privately owned or nonprofits. So the government has a much smaller role in the provision of healthcare services, and that just shows like there are more capacities. You can see, for instance, in Italy, where the government has a bigger role. It's very sad what's happening there, and the virus is complicated, but you could have also the resources to kind of combat this. Hopefully there will also be more deregulation and how tests are being approved. You see that the US seems to have a huge problem with getting tests to the patients. I haven't fully digested why things are so bad in the US, but probably come fall, we all need to look at these things, and probably a lot of red tape has caused a lot of delay to identify patients, whereas Korea really seems to have done its homework. Where what Luca already said, you know, they were able to test early because they had a bad pandemic or epidemic of MERS a couple of years ago, where a couple of hundred people died, or a couple of dozen people, and the government really relaxed and created a flexible response. To your question, economic consequences of this crisis. Well, let's hope they're not bad, not too bad, but let's hope this is all soon over. Obviously, those organizations and companies that can work remotely are in a better situation. It's easy to say for people like us, or just work remotely, right? Because we sort of work remotely anyway, so we're on the road. But obviously there are people who own restaurants or work as shopkeepers, and that's not so easy to say just work remote, right? And these, I mean, some people are just, I was like out for a walk yesterday and saw so many bars just being shut down, even though they don't have to be shut down in the UK, but they say there's no customers. And, you know, being shut down for a couple of weeks with your business and just not having any revenue, that you will never catch up. You know, that's just like gone, that money. And these people still pay rents and taxes, especially business rates in the UK, where you basically just pay tax depending, like on top of your rent, you just pay a municipal tax or a tax called business rates, which is almost as high as your rent. And you just keep paying that without having customers. So I think that's probably where the government also needs to step in and like refund these taxes of all these businesses, which keep paying taxes despite not being open to the public.
Definitely. Yeah. And thanks so much for that insight, Fred. It's really great to know that as bad as things are, there are reasons to be hopeful. There are great things that our economies have been able to provide us, all the things that we're able to order from home, and we're able to actually survive during this time. And all of us are able to stay productive and active and still connected to all of our friends and family. So,
absolutely. Let's leave on a high note. I like that.
Yeah, that's a very good note. You can find all of Fred's work on all of this that he had mentioned in the infographics on consumerchoicecenter.org. Fred, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Cheers. All the best. So we just spoke with Fred Roda, who's the Managing Director of Consumer Choice Center, and you are listening to Consumer Choice Center Live. We are Facebook living as we are all in quarantine, self-quarantine, as it were, to make sure that everything is going well at this time. It's kind of tough for many people, but we keep trudging on. I think that's the strong points about everything that we're doing. If you're unfamiliar with most of the things that we do, Consumer Choice Center, Consumer Choice Advocacy Group, we're focusing on things like life and health and science. We're talking about lifestyle freedom. We're talking about mobility. These are the important issues that affect consumers every single day, and that we hope that we can be active in amplifying that voice and that message. So if you do have additional questions, you can actually ask right here down in the bottom on the live stream. We're here to answer questions. We're here to get your thoughts about everything that's happening. I think, you know, there's a lot of fun to be had. I see Meganini has said, bring us some fun. So we're definitely going to try to do that as much as possible. That's what we do here. So we have a great guest lined up already. We've already spoken with Bill Wirtz and Luca Bertoletti and Fabio Fernandez, who've all been, you know, locked down in their own situations, but staying active and productive. So you can find out more about all the stuff that they're working on our website, as we mentioned. And if you didn't know, I think, you know, this is a good opportunity to tell you, we actually have our own radio show where we're able to do this once a week. Isn't that amazing? We're on the Big Talker, 106.7 FM, out of Wilmington, North Carolina. It's called the Big Talker. It's myself and our colleague David Clement, who you'll hear from in a little bit. And we're speaking about these issues, talking about our media hits, talking about our success stories. This is not, you know, our first time that we're doing this. We're actually able to have a lot of success with the things that we're working on, with a lot of different projects that are happening in Brazil or in Europe or North America. I mean, things are moving very, very quickly, very, very fast. And that's why we're very excited to be able to work on this stuff and hopefully make an impact. I think that's exactly why we do what we do, and why we're continuously excited to continue to work on it, even in the midst of the quarantine and the shutdown and everything else. So it's an interesting time to be here. We've got a couple people lined up. We're going to have David Clement come on the line. We're going to have Maria Chaplia come on the line. So we're getting it. We do have David, who is now live. Let's make sure that David can hear us here. And one, two, three. David, sir, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, wonderful. So you're in Ontario right now, Toronto. What's it like out there, my man?
Yeah, things are getting pretty pretty tense. Just one second. I got a fix for an echo.
No, you're good. We're all kind of doing the best we can here. So going live on the radio and on Facebook Live is always interesting, but we do have you out, I believe, in just outside of Toronto. So David is calling in, and David's going to give us some good insight as to what's happening in Canada and the stuff that he's been working on. He's got a lot of great material that's coming out in the newspapers, coming out in the media. So David is going to be excellent at telling us that story. Are you back, Sir David?
Yeah. Yes. This looks like it works now.
Beautiful. Yeah. So you tell us, how has it been there? What's going on in the area? Are there things that, you know, you've been trying to do that you haven't been able to do? You've been a busy guy. Tell us about what it's been like in Ontario.
Yeah. So we aren't quite at Italy level lockdown, but it is looking pretty dire. Schools are closed. Restaurants are closed for dine-in. So it's pretty bare in terms of what you can do. Yeah, so scary stuff, but people are persevering and coming together like they have elsewhere in the world. So
true.
Yeah.
So it's working well in Ontario. That's good to hear. Since we have you here on the program and we're here trying to cover all the stuff that our colleagues have been working on, you've been a busy bee yourself, good sir. What have you been working on in the last couple of days while we've been on quarantine?
Yeah, I mean, the big one was cannabis delivery to your house. So with the exception of two provinces, you can't actually get delivery from retailers on the same day to your house. You have to only do it through either the government monopoly or you have to do it illegally. And so I did a bit of a push saying that governments should treat legal cannabis like they do food or alcohol or anything else that you can order to your house. And yeah, lots of great feedback on that. Generally speaking, I think everybody is on board, which is good. And now we just need the government to listen and do the same.
That's pretty advanced compared to many other countries where we don't even have legal cannabis yet. So if Canada doesn't have it 100% right, you know, we can try to push them in the right direction. That's kind of cool. Are there other I guess, regulations or things that have either been repealed or that people are examining or actually feeling the impact of now that we actually have this quarantine situation really in effect across the world?
Yeah, another big one was the Ontario government got rid of a regulation that stopped deliveries at grocery stores at certain times. So apparently some local communities have hard delivery times. So like between the hours of X and X, they're not actually legally allowed to accept delivery. So they got rid of that law so that grocery stores can remain restocked all the time. And then obviously people like me are looking at that and say, wait, I didn't even know that that law exists. Let's not reinstate that once the crisis is over.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a couple that are going to be up for repeal, hopefully, once all this is done. But it's mostly been emergency declarations. You've seen all this. There's a lot about alcohol shipping, which we'll talk about later. And then you know, all these things are just kind of having to be repealed on an emergency basis because of economic factors. But we're not really thinking about how people are impacted by this in non-emergency times when they're just trying to start a business or they're trying to order products from online. You know, you would think this mm-hmm. would be the norm, but it somehow takes a crisis for this to change for everyone else, I guess.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe the only good thing that can come from all of this is we'll see all of the regulations that were detrimental during a crisis and are completely unnecessary during normal times. And then I hope that those regulations don't get reinstated, whether it's alcohol delivery from restaurants or in Canada, cannabis delivery, the times in which you can restock shelves at grocery stores. I hope that all of these things get reevaluated and then disposed of.
This is the great stuff that we can wait for in Canada. We hope so. Great Canadian consumer choice changes. And another thing that you're going to be working on a lot in the next couple of weeks that we wanted to hear about is, and people might not know this, but there actually is not an interprovincial free trade in Canada. There is no such thing as free trade across provincial borders as there is in, say, like the United States, and even between European countries such as Slovakia and Austria or Germany and the Netherlands. So what is this distinction? What is this kind of issue? And what are you doing specifically to try to change this?
Yeah, so the issue is that there are different regulations between different provinces. So, and sometimes they're very trivial. It can be like, the width of a tire for a transport truck has to be X in Ontario, but the regulation is different in Quebec and then different in New Brunswick. And so in theory, if you had a truck driving across Canada to deliver a shipment of goods, it would be violating the law in every other province. It has nothing to do with consumers or safety or anything like that. It's just trivial nonsense. So under the Canadian Free Trade Agreement, which is the supposed agreement between Canadian provinces to promote free trade, there's something called the Regulatory Reconciliation and Cooperation Table, or RCT.
Great job. You got it.
Which I've been invited to participate in. And the goal is to bring forward regulations that basically need to be streamlined or axed in order to promote free trade between provinces. So we were on that last year. We'll be on that this year again, and looking forward to helping kind of tear down those barriers.
Yes, sir. And of course, people are probably very familiar with your voice if they listen to Consumer Choice Radio. We have a program that's coming up Saturday at 10 Eastern on the Big Talker, mm-hmm. 106.7 FM. David, what do we have in store for this program? What can you preview for our Consumer Choice Center live audience that they might want to hear about our program?
Yeah, we obviously talk about the coronavirus. We talk about the Democratic nomination and the primaries. But the big one is our special guest for this week is Steve Forbes, outlining what he thinks the federal government should do and what the Federal Reserve should do in this crisis and what he's concerned about. So a great interview where our listeners are going to get to hear from Steve and hear his suggestions. It's really good content.
It's a strange world out there.
That's great. We're going to get to talk to so you can listen to that interview with Steve Forbes. We'll be linking that on our website as well. You can find all of that on consumerchoicecenter.org. David, thanks so much for taking the time. Thanks for coming on Consumer Choice Center Live, and look forward to catching you up. If you want to follow David's stuff, we'll have the link below, but then you can just find our website and you'll find David. He's plentiful and he's out there. Thanks so much, David.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers. All the best. So again, you're listening to Consumer Choice Center Live. It's been a great, I guess, almost hour here. We've talked to colleagues who've been in Italy, who've been in Luxembourg, in Canada, in London. This is the Consumer Choice Center. It's a global grassroots movement for consumer choice. That's what it's about, and that's what we've been working on. It's great to get some insight from other parts of the world as to what's happening right now. And yeah, it's kind of crazy here how it's all working. We do have Fabio on the line. Who's Fabio? We got any questions from the audience? Other things I haven't been able to see.
So I have a question for you, actually.
Oh sure, hit me up.
What have you been whooping up to?
What have I been up to? Ooh,
yes,
that's a good question. So I've been very much on the, let's just say I've been advocating for consumer choice in more ways than one. More importantly, I've been doing a lot of grilling and barbecuing. I was able to finally get my barbecue in order. But at the same time, I've been working on very important topics related to alcohol delivery, specifically in the United States. This is a big topic that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in, because if you're sitting at home in the U.S. and you would like to order not just toilet paper, but household products, and yeah, maybe you'd like to order a beer or a bottle of wine or a bottle of bourbon that you'd like to mix with your favorite ginger ale to weather the storm of the next week inside. So we'll be putting out an infographic very soon that is showing you exactly where you as a consumer can have alcohol shipped directly to your door. So that'll be going out. We've got a couple of articles on legal reform that I've been working on that'll be published very soon. We've been doing a lot in terms of press releases as well. You know, Fabio, it's been a busy, busy week, busy time. You know, these are the good times to try to put out the message, because so many other people are distracted or trying to follow other
exactly.
news, and I think we're doing a good job. So thanks for that question. Look at that. Fabio's live on the mic. Tell me that. And for our last interview, so that we can try to go through our Consumer Choice Center colleagues, we have Maria Chaplia. Maria is coming to us from Ukraine, I believe. Maria, tell me, how are things in Ukraine at the moment?
Hi, everyone. Yes, I am currently signing in Western Ukrainian countryside with my 11-year-old sister. So that's quite interesting for me. I'm feeling like a mom.
definitely.
But yeah, in Ukraine, everyone is quite worried about the situation in the world and in Ukraine. The number of cases is rising and Ukraine is almost locked down. There's no one in the street. People are buying everything. And yeah, so the situation is quite weird.
Well, you know, we're trying to stay upbeat here. We know that there's a lot of good things that we have been working on and we have been doing. And Maria, you are absolutely no exception to that. You've been writing articles, putting out press releases. Tell me, what has gotten your mind working the last couple of days? What have you been working on?
Well, some of the issues I've been working on mainly involve labeling and lifestyle regulations as such. So last week it was about tobacco regulations and the fact that, I mean, when it comes to smoking and probably alcohol consumption, there's this belief that it protects it or you put in some warning labels and the number of people consuming alcohol or cigarettes is going to go down, but it turns out it's not the case. And what those regulations end up doing, it's just like they're beating around the bush without achieving the policy outcomes that they were initially put in place for. So an interesting topic that came up a couple of days ago concerns pregnancy warning labels, which is specifically related to women, and it targets women, which is related to feminists, which is I'm also quite interested in. And I think that, well, I personally, when I came across popular in Australia and New Zealand now, I was, I mean, it's surprising because you would sort of think that it's like common sense that pregnant women are not supposed to consume alcohol. But then you sort of, it turns out that many people don't know that it can lead to some, like it can have some harmful effects on their health and health of their children. And I argue in my latest piece that I believe was published yesterday that it makes more sense to invest in schools and education systems so that they educate people about all the effects of alcohol and cigarettes. And so once you have this, give people, young people, this is a background, they can then move on and become responsible consumers because they know they are buying a pack of cigarettes, so they are sort of, they have knowledge of the health consequences that's going to fall. And another topic more related to the coronavirus outbreak I've been working on is about bailouts in the US and for airlines. Well, I mean, travel bans, of course, I mean, I think it in particular applies to the CCC team because we travel quite a lot. So in our case, travel bans are quite a problem. And I had a situation actually last week. I was traveling to Ukraine and I had to make a stop in Poland. And because the travel bans were like sort of approaching, I had to, there were all sorts of checks and I was one of the last people to have entered Poland because like a couple of hours after I did, they announced the lockdown, which is quite insane if you think about it.
Wow, I mean, so Maria Czaplia, one of the last people entered into Poland. That's amazing.
And same applies to Ukraine because the next day Ukraine announced the lockdown too and I couldn't be able to enter.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I mean, I have to give it to you. You know, you're able to travel and you're able to get home and be with your family. And you've been amazing and all the great stuff that you've been able to put together. You can find all of that at consumerchoicecenter.org right below. Maria, you know, any closing thoughts? You know, sort of you're normally a very cheerful person and you do give us a lot of, I guess, great motivations in normal times. So I figured, you know, you're someone that understands the broader perspective. You're very deep into economics and understanding about how these things impact us. You know, what kind of good parting words can you give to our audience to make us feel a little bit better about being sequestered at home with our families?
Well, I think every crisis is an opportunity, and I've noticed it myself because from the work perspective, I was able to focus more on writing and I can see how it's going to play out when it comes to my work in the future and especially work in the Consumer Choice Center. So that's all super exciting. Also, one of the best parts probably about the whole quarantine and everything else that's happening is that we are able to spend some time with our families, we chat with our friends, and we can like see that there are things in life that we were sort of not paying much attention to or not valuing enough. And now we see all of those things happening, especially in Italy, but also across everywhere in the world. So that gives us an opportunity to reconsider our values, and also applies to traveling. I've seen many people posting pictures from their past travels, saying how much they miss this freedom to travel, to move around, and to get to see many places. So, which means that once the crisis is over, our subjective value of friendship, of being able to go out and to hug your friends, and to have a social distance where you need to stand so far from each other. Same applies to parents, friends. Once the crisis is over, we are going to enjoy our life. I think it's going to be so much more exciting for us to like go out, get some fresh air, and see your friends, get a glass of beer, wine, whatever, and to just have a chat. Like normal people, not via Google Chats, but of course, Google Chats is great to say such too.
So normal chat. Wow, Maria, I think you've given us the greatest shot of optimism I think that I've heard in a long time. So thanks so much for that. You can follow all of Maria's work on consumerchoicecenter.org. You can find all of her written work there. Amazing. Maria, thanks so much for those words and all the best to you and to your family in Ukraine.
Thank you so much.
Of course. All right. Yeah, it's been a pretty good hour. I think, you know, we've heard from all of our colleagues around the world who've been, you know, very busy and productive and trying to keep up on everything that's happening in the world. But you know what? They've done an amazing job. And we're so happy that we're able to talk with you. Thank you for sharing some moments of your quarantine reality with us here at the Consumer Choice Center, Consumer Choice Center Live. You can follow all of our work, obviously, on our website, consumerchoicecenter.org. We have even more papers, infographics, press releases, articles, blog posts, everything that in the world you can find there. And we're also active here on this Facebook page, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and Instagram. So continue sharing all of our content. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for being a part of our live stream. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. So all the best, and hope to catch you very soon. Bye-bye.